So there's a story about some kids who were troublemakers. And they knew of a man who lived in the top of the mountain. And this man was known to be a wise old man. And they wanted to test him. So they caught a bird and then they knocked on the man's door. When the man answered, one of the boys said, "If you're supposed to be so wise, can you tell me if the bird in my hand is dead or alive?" Well, the man thought for a moment, and he knew that if he said dead, the boy would set the bird free. And if he said alive, the boy would crush the bird. So instead he said to them, "In your hands, you hold the power of life and death. The choice is yours to do as you wish. Take seriously what you choose and choose wisely." The boys thought for a moment and then, of course, they set the bird free. I like this story because it fits so well with today's first reading. The book of Sirach says, "Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given to him." You know, some philosophers claim that this gift of free choice, to choose as we wish, to make choices, is really a curse that was given to humanity. At the end of the movie Spider-Man, as most of you probably have seen, is that famous quote, right? That comes with, what comes with great power comes great responsibility. But it is first the gift of choice, I think. To choose comes with great responsibility. Part of moving into adulthood is the action of taking responsibility for the choices that you have made in this life. There are times when you know, you don't want the freedom to choose. Instead, you want to be told what you have to do and what you're not supposed to do. Even worse, the sign of immaturity is doing what you want and then blaming all kinds of other people or circumstances for the consequences of the decisions that you make. This way, if you can blame someone else, if things don't turn out as you hope they would. You know, married people have come to me and to see if I could help them in their marriage. And throughout my priesthood, I've heard the criticism many times over of how a priest who's not married, how he can help a married couple and is in trouble. My response over the years have been, I have learned that by the time they come and see me, I'm just trying to help them be Christian to each other. Because they've usually been so mean and hurtful to each other that what we're really talking about is Christianity 101 again. Let's start over about how we're supposed to treat each other. I've also learned that over the years to ask the spouses how they have contributed to the breakdown, and almost always the spouse will blame the other person. "Father, I'm not the problem. My spouse is the problem. You need to fix him or her. You know, he or she makes me act this way. It's her fault or his fault that I act the way I do." It's if only you could get the other person to change, then everything would be all right. Most of the time, the statement is, you could choose to ask differently. You know, for whatever's facing you, have the freedom to choose how you're going to act and respond. But that usually falls on deaf ears. When we realize that the great gift of the freedom to choose, that this gift separates us from the rest of creation, that the freedom of choice to choose the good, the holy, the right, and the just belongs to humanity. You know, the first reading continues to say that God does not command anyone to act unjustly. He has not given anyone the license to sin. And I've had a number of debates with people and even in my own family over why God would give us this free choice, knowing that maybe, just maybe, and of course so, we would choose the evil. Since we are given the freedom to choose to do good, it means we also have to be given the ability to choose evil. And this is so true, and the potential is always there. You know, but there are two things I'd like to offer you for reflection this Sunday morning. The first is, the gift to choose is first the freedom to choose among lots of good things. There are so many great and wonderful things that God has given in this world, and we are free to choose among any of them. That should harken back to the Garden of Eden, where God says, there are many trees of which you can eat the fruit of. You're free to choose any of them, but not that one. So we're free to choose the kind of careers that we want, what we are to eat, where we're going to recreate, the friends we're going to hang out with, the books we're going to read, the websites we're going to browse, the things that are going to come out of our mouth. These are all things we choose. These and many more are the places where we have the freedom to choose among the many good things, the many, many wholesome options. Our call is to make great choices and to make great things happen with these choices in our lives. So the gift and the freedom to choose among many good things is one. And the second area of reflection is that God is love. And by definition, love is free, freely chosen. There's this great line in a movie where a woman puts a gun to the man's head and she says, "Tell me you love me." Now, of course, she's got a gun right here. So he says, "I love you." And the woman is smart enough to know that, since she says, "I know you don't mean it, but I need to hear it anyway." And that line always left kind of a pit in my stomach, because she knows that love, that true love, can never be forced. It is always free. And as painful as it can be at times when someone loves another, you know, so the love that you have to offer isn't returned to you, still know that deep down, love, true love, must be freely offered and freely given. And in this life, God has given us the great gift to choose among many good things. And he has given us the gift to freely love him and all those around us. And along with this gift to choose comes great responsibility, because for this to be true and authentic, one also has the freedom to pervert it, to distort it, and to reject. Reject love, reject life, and even the freedom to reject God. Just as much as we are freely to love him. So maybe this was too much responsibility to give humanity, because St. Paul says in the second reading, God's wisdom is mysterious and hidden. But what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, what has not entered into the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. So before us, as the first reading says, is life and death, good and evil. The sign of full maturity is to take full responsibility and accept the consequences of our choices. The choices that result in the state of our marriages, in the state of our health, in the state of our friendships with other people. The choices we make that end up in the state of our own faith, the knowledge of our faith, over our home environment, the kind of choices we make for the kind of home we create, the work relationships we have. You know, but so much of it is about choosing life and goodness and right. In the face of all the choices that we can make. But along with all of these come the consequences of our choices. May we always choose life and goodness and right and wholesomeness. These are God's greatest gifts to us in this life. And really, life, in the end, is all about using this gift wisely.